Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
Okay, recording in 5, 4, 3.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. A little early, but my name is John Hurley. John Early, right?
John Early.
John Paul Early. I'm your host, John Paul Hurley, on Twitter at FF Hercules. Doing the countdown many times, the Pharaoh of Fantasy, Izzy Elkafoss, on Twitter at DTC underscore Izzy. What's going on, man? That was fun.
That was a good time, yeah. I wish that was on video.
As probably, maybe it is.
Made more sense.
As promised, maybe, like I said, I maybe have like a little icebreaker. I want to test your might or test your knowledge, basically. Mosier is going to know this. You said you need one of those little clappy slate things in order to, like, you know, take one, kind of like
an action board.
There is a proper name for it, and it's kind of weird. I don't think that's what it is, though.
No, I have no idea. I made that up.
Hey, Google, what are the slates called when starting live TV? It's a clapper board.
I said action board. Close enough.
There you have it. Now, when you go on Jeopardy, and that's the daily double, you will win a lot of money with Aaron Rodgers as the host.
Nice.
But he might give you COVID.
But he might not. He's immune.
That's why it's called Double Jeopardy, because you might win money, but you also might get COVID.
True.
That's the definition of Double Jeopardy.
Are you guys immunized?
I am immunized.
Nice. Perfect.
Those words have completely been changed forever now.
Yeah, I know. It's funny.
What? Okay, Mr. Rogers, exactly what have you been immunized to? We need to be more specific when we ask him questions going forward.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers, looks like you were limping out there. Are you injured? I have been injured. Okay, what happened? I am injured.
That's all you need to know.
Perfect. Sounds good.
He's a vague guy, though. You know?
You think so?
Yeah, he's a pretty vague guy. Yeah. Even when he was supposed to be coming, or we didn't know if he was or was not coming back, there wasn't very much clarity on the situation at any point.
Yeah. Do you want to know my firm stance on that whole deal is?
Sure.
I don't care. They probably should have done that, but let's put it behind us. Let's move on. It was a weird choice, but you know, doesn't impact me much. So let's just move past it. Right.
Yeah. His immunity, his choice.
I don't care. Yeah. Right. That's how it goes. Mm-hmm. But we actually do have actual dynasty football topics to cover. We got some playa news. I actually wrote that in the notes. I don't know why I wrote it that way. Playa news. We got a lot of news to cover, don't we?
Yeah.
There's a little cat named Odell Beckham Jr., and I call him little because I'm 6'4", and I probably tower over him, right?
Yeah, he's 5'11". Yeah, so I'd say, yeah.
Little guy. And he's changed teams, I heard. I'm just reading this right now. Just kidding. He has changed teams, and despite the fact that he had, I believe it was the Green Bay Packers, the New Orleans Saints, which didn't make a lot of sense to me, and... he wanted to
Patriots,
go to a contender.
Patriots.
Okay. So he wanted to go to contender, and he narrowed it down with those three, and ended up kind of a little bit of a blindside. But now that you look back, it's like, okay, that makes sense. That's something that the Rams would do. signs with the Los Angeles Rams and joins just in time before the Robert Woods injury, which we probably got to talk a little bit about too. I guess it's kind of all pooled in together. So Odell Beckham Jr. in a Rams uniform. What does this mean to like Stafford and everybody around? Like, who does this impact the most besides Odell Beckham Jr.?
So what's interesting about this is that we don't know if Baker is just really poop or if OBJ actually has some juice left in him, or I guess, or if he's garbage, basically. I think if OBJ comes out and starts producing, like, doesn't have to be OBJ of past, I think that's kind of long gone. But if he replaces Robbie, or, you know, Bobby Woods, Bobby Trees, what they call him, and he puts up Robert Woods numbers but better, then it's safe to say that Baker is his cheeks, which I think that it's probably a little bit of both. Because ever since he's gone to Cleveland, his catch percentage has dropped every single season. His production per game has dropped every single season. So either he's declining rapidly like Dez Bryant and Hakeem Nicks did, or Baker's a lot worse than what we think.
I have a take on this.
Well, let's hear it.
Baker Mayfield is, this could be sacrilege, you're a basketball fan. Baker Mayfield is the John Starks of the NFL. He is a streaky quarterback. John Starks, I don't know if you remember him. There might be, like, some of our listeners may be too young to remember this guy. New York Knicks, he was capable of hitting 10 threes in a game. And he was also capable of missing 10 threes in a game. He was just so streaky. You just never knew which John Starks would show up in a night, right? And I really think that I've seen flashes of Baker that can get the job done and can win a game, put the team on his shoulders. But I've seen the complete, conversely, other end of it, you know, like where he's just complete poop. So I think he's just streaky. He's a streaky quarterback. So it's almost like both sides are kind of right, but they're both also kind of wrong. I don't know what it is. Do you think it's so did you watch any of the Summer Olympics this year?
Very little bit.
What's her name? The female gymnast, super popular, just having a brain fart. Thank you. Simone had a case of the yips, and it's kind of like you just lose focus. You lose concentration. You know, it can throw your, you know, throw off. It can, you know, throw your game off. Maybe like he's just got the occasional case of the yips. What is it? What do you think it is?
So what you're suggesting is Baker has the yips on a week-to-week basis?
Not week to week, just maybe inconsistently. Like he has the occasional, he experiences the occasional yips.
The thing is with Baker is he hasn't gotten any better at all since his rookie season.
But he's streaky. He'll put it together for a game, yeah.
That's not streaky. When you can put it together in random games, that's called inconsistent, unreliable.
But streaky and inconsistent are synonyms.
Streaky, no. Streaky would be like if he went like four or five, an extended period of time of being hot as a pistol, and then he went an extended period of time of being garbage. I guess I'd have to look at his career to see. Is he actually streaky, or is it like inconsistent where you don't know what you're going to get a week-to-week basis?
It is semantics. I am arguing the same thing, so we agree to that. Yeah, whether it's inconsistent or streaky, whatever you want to call it, I think that's what he is.
He's never really had a solid season last season without OBJ for most of it. But do you know this is the first time, I believe, since his rookie season that Baker Mayfield has fallen out of the top 20 quarterbacks in Dynasty
for like ranking and value, kind of like?
Yeah, he is firmly out, not firmly, but he is just outside the top 20
in value. Okay, so he put together a nice string of games to finish the season last year. Did you see that?
Yeah, without OBJ, that's what I was saying. He played well without OBJ.
Yeah, 334 and 4, 343 and 2, 297 and 2. So he basically averaged 300 yards a game.
Yeah.
over those last four games. But and then OBJ goes down, you know, leaves the team, basically sits himself down, and then he didn't really do much, actually. I was like, everybody thought that he would blow up because his splits without OBJ are good. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do very good this last week without OBJ.
Yeah, it's one game, and then he got hurt on top of it. But let me ask you this. I'm going to name some quarterbacks. You tell me if you prefer Baker over any of these, and then we'll get to OBJ, because I think we transitioned into a Baker conversation.
That's just what we do, though.
Yeah. I think, I don't know where to start, but I think Tua... Well, I'll tell you what the rankings are, and you can tell me yes or no to any of these. At 15 in Dynasty, we have Mac Jones.
At 16, and what am I saying? Yes or no?
So
whether I
yes or no to Baker. Baker over. So Mac Jones. Would you rather Mac Jones or Baker?
100% Mac.
Yeah, okay. Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron.
Zach Wilson.
It's almost like I know what I've seen with Baker, and I really don't know what I've seen with Zach yet in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So I'd almost rather roll the dice and take the risk and go with Zach. But
okay,
that's getting to be the Mendoza line
for you. Okay. What about Tua?
Man, he's just such a mystery. I'd probably rather have Baker.
Okay. What about Derek Carr?
Yeah. These are all really hard now. Probably, gun to my head, I'll go Derek. Derek's capable of a lot of volume, so I like Derek.
Yeah. Ryan Tannehill.
Man, was something wrong with Tannehill this year. I don't know what it is. He's like a perennial, like top seven to 10 performing quarterback, and he's just not doing that this year, even with Julio, but now Julio's gone. But
yeah, Julio really
I'll go another hard one. I'll go Baker with that one.
Okay. Daniel Jones.
Baker.
Tom Brady. Interesting one.
In a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Is it a Bissell or a Dyson vacuum?
Dyson.
Baker.
Carson Wentz.
Carson's really turned it around. He's kind of lived off of the big play, though, you know? Touchdowns mm-hmm. and the big play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since Wentz showed me some toughness this year, I'm going to go Carson.
Okay. Kirk Cousins.
Cousins is kind of like Carr for me. So I would have a hard time saying Carr, but not saying Cousins too.
Cousins is 3 years older than Carr.
So he's a 3 year older Carr. So he's kind of like, he just lost his manufacturer warranty.
Yeah. He's out of warranty. The car is out of warranty.
I'll still go Cousins, though.
Okay. So we have, in the calculator, landed on Baker Mayfield at 21 in between all of those guys that we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, I think, it started for you at Zach Wilson, where it got tough, up until Kirk Cousins. So 17 to 25.
What a crazy tier.
Where it gets a little bit where you could ask 100 people and legitimately get 100 different order.
Yeah, and then after that's pretty clear cut with Matt Ryan, Jared Goff. Like, that's pretty easy to go.
Then there's then Matt Ryan, Jared Goff, Teddy, Jimmy Garoppolo. G, yeah. And there's Darnold. Probably maybe, I feel like Matt Ryan's in kind of his own little tier, like,
mm-hmm.
but he's 36 and just inconsistent. Yeah, Jared.
How about for you for all those ones? So I'll list the same ones off, and then you say which side you prefer. Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac. I think Mac and Aaron are easy.
Mac and Aaron. Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson.
Tua. Tua Tagovailoa. Vailoa.
Not a Tua guy. Never been a Tua guy.
Yeah, but you're not a Baker guy either, so that's pretty easy.
I think Baker, slightly.
Derek Carr.
Carr.
Tannehill.
Baker, very slightly.
Okay. So you're kind of concerned about Tannehill, too, plus being 33 also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Too bad.
I'm just, you know, for me, it's
the offense.
You get Well, you get 7 years. And I feel like you get more trade partners. Like Baker, if he strings together a few good games, you could flip him and try to upgrade a mm-hmm. lot easier than with Tannehill.
Yeah, you're right. If he has a string of games like he did to finish the season out last year, then your trade partners open up.
Yes. Like, for instance, I feel like it's easier to acquire a guy like Deshaun Watson if I trade Baker plus
mm-hmm.
to I get Watson.
Yeah.
Where with Tannehill, I think it'd be a lot harder, even though most people would rather have it's a weird thing. I think more people would rather have Tannehill straight up for Baker than Baker, but I feel like Baker paired with something could get you more in some weird way if he puts together a performance.
Yeah, and it's probably because he's always in commercials, and he's a constant reminder. He's becoming a household name despite not performing like one.
Yeah,
that's what it is. We solved the mystery. Daniel Jones,
Baker,
Thomas Brady.
So he says he's going to play. That's the thing. That's tough. Like he's 44, man. Like we've been saying this for 4 years though. So. Just, I'm more of a safety first kind of guy, especially with age, the way it is with Brady. I'm going to say Baker, more trade partners.
Yep, I agree.
And
he could intend to play that long, but like all it really takes is one weird hit. And trust me when I say that in your mid 40s, things just take a longer time to heal, regardless of what your health staff looks like.
I know you can't. Your 44 is not Tom Brady 44. Like he's
it is,
probably,
though. I am in pristine condition.
You are mint. You are mint.
I'm a late model car now with my manufacturer warranties long gone.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, like from drinking the night before, like hangovers, twisted ankles, like those things I used to bounce back and be fine in 2 or 3 days. Now it's like 2 or 3 months. And it's like I'm concerned about being able to walk next year.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, age will do that to you. Okay,
like so, heartburn. Yeah. Heartburn would knock me out of a game. I'd be questionable with heartburn.
I'm
Mosher's nodding his head too. He gets it. He gets it.
Mosher gets it.
He's got it right now.
Yeah.
Taking the Tums. This episode is actually sponsored by Tums. Coincidentally, I don't know if you knew that, Izzy.
No, I didn't. I just found out.
Tums. I think that's what the old commercials were.
Yep.
Tom Brady. I'm gonna call him.
Tom Brady.
All right, I'm off. I'm unhinged.
Okay.
Next one, so like you've got two others, Carson Wentz or Baker Mayfield?
Baker.
Don't like what Wentz is doing, huh?
It's just like the durability thing. Like I know Baker's hurt right now, but Carson he's just so erratic with his play. You think Baker's erratic, like Carson Wentz is.
Oh, erratic. That's a great word because erratic can span across the entire game, right? So you could put it together for a game, but you're still kind of erratic.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just like the type of throws that were given to you for that game would cause your inconsistency.
Yeah. So I feel like erratic is more Wentz because he does things on the field that most quarterbacks wouldn't think about doing
or shouldn't. Like, yeah.
Bad decisions, just weird, weird choices with the ball. Where Baker,
like Mahomes' really, decisions, but poorly executed.
Yeah. Mahomes' decision, but John Paul Hurley talent.
So really good then.
Yeah.
Well, I'm confused.
So like with Baker, it's, he has some of that every once in a while, but I'd say he's more in control. I just don't think he's very good.
Yeah, that's a problem.
But
and then the last one is Kirk Cousins.
I think this one should be Cousins because he's pretty underrated, but I'm going to go Baker.
Okay, I don't have any problem.
For the same reason I chose Baker over Tannehill.
Okay. There you have it. So we're pretty similar. There's just a couple differ in.
Yeah, a couple differences.
I don't think any one of them are very far off, though.
So transitioning to OBJ, do you think it was a Baker issue, or do you think OBJ is the issue? Now, mind you, he's already gone to the Rams, and this one stood out to me. he's already complaining about the jersey number.
Sounds like
apparently he wants his jersey number. And it's like, dude, you're not that. You can't, dude. You haven't been good in 5 years. You can't be doing that.
Talk. I mean, what about first impressions too? Right. Like, this is your first impression on a new team that chose to bring you in to help give you a title.
And maybe the report isn't true. I don't know, but I believe it.
Yeah, I did too. To answer your question, I think it was a Baker problem, and like outside of maybe a little spark of what was left in the tank for Eli Manning towards the end of his career, I don't really think that Odell Beckham has really had a good quality quarterback in his entire career.
Oh, not at all.
And he's kind of like, unfortunately, reaching like the twilight of his career. I still think he's got plenty left, but he finally gets a good quarterback. So I'm actually more excited about it than maybe most people are. I want to see if Odell Beckham Jr. can bring it, you know, like, and I don't think there's going to be anything to complain about because Matt Stafford is fully capable of hitting him on open routes. So I think this could be a, especially with the Robert Woods thing, this could be a really interesting and explosive type of, you know, almost like a Randy Moss going to New England to salvage the end of his twilight of his career type of thing. I could really see similarities there.
Yeah.
I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. has to book some breakfasts with Matt Stafford, though. Otherwise, it just won't work out. You have to have breakfast with Matt. That's what it's called, too. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so, yeah, we'll see. You look at it, interestingly enough, so his last season with New York in 2018, Odell averaged 87.7 yards per game. He went to Cleveland, first year, he averaged 64.7. The second year in 2020, he averaged 45.6. And then this year, he's averaging 38.7.
They just run a lot, too, you know?
Yeah, but come on.
There's not significant volume there. He's not, you know, he hasn't been used traditionally as a possession receiver. So, I get it. Like, I'm probably bullish on him in this case, as far as the narrative's concerned. I really think this could be a really interesting scenario for him. I should probably go and buy some shares to put my money where my mouth is.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And we are recording this right before the game. So, and he's active tonight. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't expect much this week, though.
Yeah, maybe. But so you're acquiring. What would you look to acquire for?
So that's the other thing, too. It's like, it is not a good time to buy. I can fully acknowledge that. And there are probably, you know how people fall in love with their roster. There are probably people out there that have OBJ in their team that are just as excited about it, and they're just not going to give them up for anything reasonable. So it's probably why I won't be able to acquire anybody anymore, I should say. Having that been said, I think I would try to get him for, he's probably worth somewhere between an early second and a late first. And I don't think you're going to get it done without offering a late first. And I don't mind that move in this upcoming draft as it stands.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's going to take. If you want to get him, you're going to have to get a late first. Nobody's going to take a second for OBJ.
Okay. Let me ask you some questions here.
All right. Fire him off. Here, and actually, while you're doing that, let's kind of stick with our normal weekly MO. I will tweet a poll out to find out what the buy line is for OBJ. How about that?
Sure. So Darnell Mooney or OBJ?
OBJ.
Okay. Adam Thielen or OBJ?
OBJ.
Tyler Lockett or OBJ?
OBJ.
LaVisca or OBJ?
OBJ.
Terrace Marshall?
That's another one of those mystery boxes there. And it's probably because I think, that situation's changed so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
At first, we thought Darnold was good, and then we didn't, and now Cam's there. Because a lot of it is, going to be hinged upon what he's going to do immediately for us. I'll probably still say, God, that's a tough one, though. I'll say OBJ.
Brandon Cooks or OBJ?
OBJ.
Corey Davis or OBJ?
I'll take OBJ.
Tyler Boyd.
Although OBJ? If Flacco plays, I like Corey Davis. That's funny. OBJ ahead of Tyler Boyd. Yeah, pretty easy.
And A. Rob.
Not as easy as it should be, but I'll take OBJ there. I don't know what's going on there.
Or OBJ.
OBJ.
Okay. So you pretty much answered OBJ for all of them. Now let me go. What about Christian Kirk?
Yeah, that's close too. Yeah, he could leave. I don't know if he's been really good. I don't know if he's been good enough to earn like some sort of, you know, significant work on a new team when he leaves. This is his contract year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what is he like, 24, 25?
24, yeah.
I'll take OBJ. Screw it.
Tony or OBJ?
I'll take Kadarius.
Okay. And then Ayuk?
Ayuk, easy.
Okay. So starting from Mooney down to Gallup, there is 11 players there. And you chose OBJ over, I believe, every single one of them. Yeah, you did. And then it became easy at Ayuk. Interesting. Yeah, so you're pretty high on OBJ. I'd rather have Mooney than OBJ. I'd rather have Thielen than OBJ. Lockett, probably. Visca, yes. Terrace Marshall, yes.
You're saying yes to OBJ for against them?
I'd rather have all those guys over OBJ.
Oh wow, okay.
And then I'd rather have OBJ over Cooks. Corey Davis is interesting. I think I might slightly rather have Corey Davis than OBJ. Yeah, I'd rather have Corey Davis than OBJ. Boyd. Yeah, I'd rather have OBJ slightly. I think Boyd's very underrated, but that's the problem. A-Rob. It's close. Toss up. They're kind of in the same boat right now. Maybe OBJ, just because I'm curious what happens tonight or what happens the rest of the season. And then Gallup. I'd rather have Gallup than OBJ. But other than that, yeah. So I'm a little bit lower on OBJ than you are.
Did you said Kirk already, right?
Yeah, I'd rather, above that, it's pretty easy for me.
Man, are Kirk and Gallup both going to be free agents after this year? I think they are.
Yeah, Gallup will be, yeah.
That'll be, yeah. An interesting free agency, I think, this year. We should probably have a podcast about that pretty soon here.
Yep. So, yeah, on to the next. I think that was good for OBJ.
On to the next one. Yeah, we covered some bonus topics there. The next one, the big piece of news is Cam Newton comes out of hiding. Sam Darnold out for a year. I know, but, you know, it's probably better than PJ Walker.
He's not out for the year. He's just on IR.
Oh, you think when he comes back, do you think he'll take his job back?
Depends on how PJ and Cam are doing, but
that sounds like some sort of weird sandwich.
Yeah, PJ and Cam.
I would probably eat it though. I'll be honest.
I'll try it. I want to say that when Darnold comes back, he'll be the quarterback. They're not going to make the playoffs. They have no chance. They're playing Washington, the Dolphins, and they go on bye. I assume Darnold will be the quarterback in week 14. That being said, if PJ Walker goes absolutely bananas over the next 2 weeks, I think he keeps the job after the bye. Or if, from a fan perspective, it's hard to bench Cam in any way. I mean, it's not like Cam was out there slinging the ball around. So he's almost like situational, kind of like what San Francisco is doing with Trey Lance at the beginning of the season and Justin Fields, where in the red zone he gets a little bit more snaps and, you know, so on and so forth, which I think is a great idea for them. And that might be the case when Darnold comes back. Maybe it's Darnold, and then once they get in the red zone, Cam comes in. I don't know. Be interesting. But I think it would be a mistake. There is no right answer probably for Carolina in terms of the long-term solution there. So you might as well just ride Darnold out the rest of the way and then try to dump him.
Sounds like a death sentence for Darnold, for fantasy owners at least, though. So he's being Taysomed, is what you're saying.
Oh, he gone. Like he's like any sort of value that you had expected for Darnold or hoped to keep for Darnold is gone. It's over.
Can I
his dynasty value is done, Hurley.
Remember when we were discussing a trade in one of our leagues and I had Burrow and you were seeing, you know, kind of feeling out the waters to see what it would take to get Burrow. And you had Darnold in part of a package and an offer to me. And you're like, yeah, I don't have Darnold too far away from Burrow. And I'm like, what?
No, I didn't say that.
It was something along those lines. Should I dig through old texts? Should we have a segment through old texts?
I think this was in the first few weeks. I think we were just talking about
this is after after he had a couple of big weeks in a row. So
yeah, but I don't think I said that they were. I think maybe I was saying they're not as far off as you're making it seem, but I think they're far off, but not to the point where, at the time, not to the point where it was massive difference. Well, now obviously it's a joke to even have conversations with Darnold being involved with Burrow.
Jokic, yeah.
But you were very high on Burrow. I mean, you've been very high on Burrow. So
yeah, probably too high. But I'm okay with being high on Burrow.
Yeah, totally fine.
Darnold's value's gone. That's kind of where we left off.
But we now have to look at what to do with DJ Moore.
Yeah. And McCaffrey, does this impact McCaffrey and his receiving game ability?
No, I don't. I think McCaffrey's always going to be fine. He's quarterback proof. You can always dump it off to him, you know?
Well, the only problem is that, like, Cam has already shown in his first game back that he might take away some of those goal line touches.
Sure, but, I mean, McCaffrey is still productive with Cam.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, they did play for that short period.
Yep.
But the bigger thing is when Darnold was cooking, DJ Moore's points were 15.4, 21.9, 20.5, and 31.9 for the first 4 weeks.
Pretty good.
Pretty, pretty, pretty good. To put in perspective, he was the wide receiver 4 through 4 weeks. And since then, he's the wide receiver 38.
Not good, Bob.
So he was a top 5 receiver for 4 weeks, and the following 6 weeks is a wide receiver 4. So wide receiver, he was the wide receiver 4 for the first 4 weeks. Now he is a wide receiver 4 after the next 6 weeks.
What a disaster. So you can call him DJ less.
Yeah, definitely DJ less. DJ no more. Now, question is, he was at one point a top 8 dynasty. After the first 4 weeks, he had passed up Diggs in dynasty.
Good for him.
So he flirted with, I think, 7th or 8th overall in dynasty. Now he is the wide receiver 11. That being said, do you think that's too high?
Probably. It's one of those cases where if you were buying him, you could offer less than what his current value is and still acquire him because he's trending downward and people are projecting the downward trend to continue. So yes, yeah. Technically he's probably worth too much though.
So there's two layers to this. The first layer is when DJ Moore was going top 7, top 8, that was with the assumption that he was tethered to a young quarterback.
Performing quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, young performing quarterback. Now he has neither. So when I look at the list of names, like Chris Godwin, Deebo Samuel, these are the guys in his pocket, below him, just around where he is or below, you get the Godwins, the Deebos, the Devonta Smiths, DeAndre Hopkins, Deontay Johnsons, Jalen Waddle, Higgins, Judy, Pittman. Those are the next guys.
Pittman is far too low.
I think so. Well, he's right in the Pittman is very, very close. Like it's kind of a grouping of Hopkins, Deontay, Waddle, Higgins, Judy, Pittman are in the same little pocket. They're very, very close.
Yeah. Hopkins is at that weird stage of his career where these little injuries that he's sustaining are extremely detrimental to his value while he's out. And then it kind of bounces right back when he comes back in. But it's like, it's funny to watch how sporadic their value is when they're aging vets and they experience small injuries.
Well, this is what we were talking about last week. Yeah. It's the exact conversation. Like, DeAndre Hopkins has an injury, a hamstring injury, misses 2 weeks, and he hasn't been like DeAndre Hopkins of old, and his value plummets.
Yeah.
Whereas if this is Devonta Smith or Jalen Waddle or even like Chris Godwin, whatever, like it hurts him, but it doesn't really move the needle all that much.
No.
And this is the conversation. Like, let's say DeAndre Hopkins were to miss the rest of the season. Let's say he gets hurt, misses the rest of the season. He's plummeting in value.
Honestly, if he missed the rest of the season, it's almost better than what's currently happening. I would, as a dynasty owner, I would almost rather have that than this like in and out, like not performing, don't know if I should put him in my lineup or not. Now, I don't know how that impacts his value between those two different options, those two different streets, avenues, but man, it's frustrating being a DeAndre Hopkins owner this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So Stafford's first completion of the game goes to OBJ, and then his second target to OBJ gets picked.
Interesting. The Baker Mayfield effect. It's the new version of the butterfly effect.
Yep. So,
and speaking, so since we're doing the the hot news, I will announce my poll really quick since we're kind of on that topic again really quick.
You dog.
I framed up the question, what is the least that you'd take for Odell Beckham Jr. in your dynasty leagues? It was mid first, late first, 2 seconds, or one early second. I thought that was a pretty good range of picks. And leading the way is an early second with 50% of the vote. 2 seconds with 27%, it just goes down from there.
That's so basically, to buy.
That is the least that people would take to sell him.
Okay. I think the question is better framed from a buying perspective because there are people that will answer that question that don't like OBJ and have no interest in, they don't have him anywhere. So they would just, the sell is a tough question on Twitter because less people are vested. But when you ask buy, everybody would either buy, even if you like him, you'll buy him. And even if you don't, you'll buy him. But you're willing to buy him for significantly less. Whereas the sell, if you actually don't have a OBJ share, your mindset is just like, whatever. Like it's not, you see what I'm saying?
Not really, but I'll poll it.
Yeah, I think the selling is different. Like the buying is a better indicator from a, and we're going to do a buy sell line, but I think the buying is a better indicator for a guy like OBJ. Now, if you're talking about a guy like Rashad Bateman, you're probably going to get a fine answer either way from a buy-sell perspective because he's young, there's some unknowns. Yeah, and still, I think there's enough people that have any interest in him to say like, oh, if I did have him, what would I sell him for? With OBJ, a lot of people are like, I just don't care. You know?
Yeah, it makes sense. That'll be interesting to watch that pan out. So anyway, that was our little derail for OBJ again, just kind of like a revisit.
Yep. On to Aaron Jones.
Kind of like the next and maybe the final piece of information that we're going to be covering in the podcast today. Aaron Jones sustains a small, I think it was an MCL sprain. It was some kind of sprain.
Yeah. His third one of his right knee is what I was reading.
Interesting. I don't know if I take that with a grain of salt or not, but yeah, so he's spraying MCL. Doesn't seem like it was too serious. It might take like 2 at the very earliest, probably 3 weeks to come back, but something has happened that we thought might happen before Aaron Jones was re-signed to the Green Bay Packers. AJ Dillon's looking like the part, in my opinion. Like I watched the game and every bit of those quads is churning out yards, scoring touchdowns, being the centerpiece of the offense, just like we thought A.J. Dillon could be. What does this mean to you?
Yeah, it's This is a very interesting dynamic because you have an Aaron Jones that just signed a relatively big contract. So it's not like he's going anywhere. So
I'll be the judge of that.
But what do you really do with AJ Dillon? Like, how do you proceed? Because I get it, Aaron Jones will be turning 27 very, very soon here, I think in this season. But it's not like they can get rid of him after this season and move on.
Yeah, and you're right. It looks like, judging by his contract, it was basically a 2-year deal. It's a 4-year deal on paper, basically a 2-year deal. He's got a potential out after the 2022 season. If for some reason they wanted to part ways with him next year, which they're just not going to do, there's about $10 million of dead cap. I could see maybe a trade, but they're still kind of on the hook for a lot of money. But yeah.
So yeah. So I would tread lightly with, I think AJ Dillon from a talent perspective is great. Like, I think that he could be there. I'm surprised, and this is a conversation we had in free agency, I'm surprised they even spent the money to bring back Aaron Jones.
Yeah, they needed other stuff.
They needed, yeah, I thought they had bigger needs elsewhere, and they could have just ran Quadzilla indefinitely. But I don't know. I'm surprised by it, so I just... It makes it challenging to figure out exactly how to play this.
It's kind of funny. We're like just dudes talking about fantasy football. I mean, we've been around football for a long time, but sometimes it seems so clear at how poorly mismanaged organizations are. And like, we are nobody to talk, but it's like, I was baffled by that move. AJ Dillon seems like he's just as capable. I mean, Aaron Jones, I kind of feel like Aaron Rodgers maybe had an influence on that. Bringing him back, it's like, if you don't bring Aaron Jones back, I'm not coming back. Maybe it might have been something like that because there was that touch and go business during the offseason. But it's like, I was baffled by that. And it's apparent that that's why I was baffled.
Yeah, I mean, if you think that might have been the case, then that's very reasonable. But the thing that's weird about this whole thing, they brought him back. And in the last 4 weeks, so the carries are Aaron Jones 6, Aaron Jones 15. 12, and then 7 when he got hurt, to AJ Dillon's 3, 16, 8, and then obviously 21. So there really isn't even much consistency. Even the week before that against Chicago in week 6, Aaron Jones had 13, AJ Dillon had 11 carries. Before that, it was 8 carries for AJ Dillon, 14 for Aaron Jones. A week before that, it's 15 for Aaron Jones and 15 for AJ Dillon. So this backfield is kind of turning into a 50-50 split.
And they're definitely not splitting the money, that's for sure.
Definitely not splitting the money.
AJ Dillon's making $850K this year.
And AJ Dillon has 97 carries to Aaron Jones's 123 on the season. Now there's a little bit of a asterisk there because of the injury to Aaron Jones this week. But let's say you're looking at a 60-40 split, it destroys Aaron Jones's value. Like, people are still, because Aaron Jones is still being relatively efficient with his touches, and he's getting the receptions, people are still viewing him as, because they're looking at fantasy points. But if you look at the actual volume, which is the indicator for me for fantasy points long term, it's definitely a red flag considering his age, now his third MCL injury, and then AJ Dillon being there. It's hard to really look at Aaron Jones and be willing to pay anywhere near the price that he's currently at.
I agree. He should be another one of those that's trending downward. The needle's pointing down. So
now,
for some reason you wanted to acquire him, you could probably pay less than what his current value is.
Now, here's the question, though. He's down to RB18 after this injury. The players above him are like the J.K. Dobbinses, the David Montgomerys, the Josh Jacobs, the Derrick Henrys. Would you agree that you'd rather have all those guys over Aaron Jones?
Dobbins, yes. Yeah, I mean, those are all pretty. Yeah, Derrick Henrys are probably, though. I wouldn't say Insta.
For me, it's easy.
Really?
Yeah, easy. I mean, they're relatively the same age. Derrick Henry may have them by like 7 or 8 months. Derrick Henry has the same contract situation. He's going to be there for a couple of years. but Derrick Henry has nobody in front of him or with him. I didn't think
they were that close in age.
Yeah, pretty sure. You can double check my math.
Jones, 26.
But when does he turn 27? I think it's December, if my memory is correct.
Yeah, 27.
When does he turn it?
Aaron Jones, age?
Yeah, December 2nd.
December 2nd.
So just in a few weeks here. A couple weeks, he'll be 27. And I think Derrick Henry turns 28.
So they're a year apart.
When does he turn 28?
January 4th.
Okay, so a year apart.
Yeah, you know, that does change things for me. I thought that...
It was a couple years.
I thought it was a couple years. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd be fine with Henry there.
Now let's look at this. Would you rather have Aaron Jones or Clyde?
Clyde, personally, but I know that most people won't say that.
Okay. Aaron Jones or Elijah Mitchell?
Aaron Jones.
James Robinson?
Aaron Jones.
Cam Akers?
Cam Akers.
Michael Carter?
I like Michael Carter. It's Aaron Jones, though. I could get Michael Carter plus if I had Aaron Jones. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. And this is a pretty big gap. I mean, you're looking at the difference between, not pretty big gap, but the difference between them is a second, probably a early to mid second difference. But what about ATN?
I love ATN. I prefer ATN.
Okay. And then AJ Dillon?
That's hilarious that it comes down to AJ Dillon. I still think it has to be Aaron Jones, but it's like, man, given the right situation, the tables would have turned. I mean, it could be another, like, we'll see how smart that coaching staff is. Like, I understand that Aaron Jones has the money and the security right now, but like, what do you do if your coaching staff and AJ Dillon keeps outproducing Aaron Jones on a weekly basis?
I don't know if he's outproducing. I don't think he's outproducing him.
No, what if he does though? Because like, Aaron Jones hasn't done what AJ Dillon did just last game this entire season yet.
Well, it's not like AJ Dillon was like super efficient. He just got the volume.
Yeah, but I don't know if the Packers believe that Aaron Jones can handle that volume anymore.
Do you think Aaron Jones or AJ Dillon got the volume just because they didn't have a choice because Aaron Jones was out?
I'm going to answer your question with another confusing question and make this a big hot mess of mud.
Okay.
Do you think that Aaron Jones would get that kind of volume if AJ Dillon was out?
Yes.
Okay, if you do, then I agree. Then yes, that's because of Aaron Jones being out. I'm not sure if that's the reason, but yeah.
I think it is. Like, when you spell Aaron Jones with AJ Dillon, you're like, okay, you know, you lose a little bit, but not that much. But when you spell Aaron Jones with
Kylan Hill,
is it Kylan Hill would be the RB3?
Then
there's a big difference. Big difference.
Got to be Kylan, right?
Yeah. I don't know how I can't I'm think looking, of who I'm the RB4 it is.
It's Dorsey Levens. Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon, Patrick Taylor. Kylan Hill's not even listed on the depth chart. I'm gonna switch.
Kylan Hill has 20 as 10 attempts, Patrick Taylor has 2. So it is Kylan Hill would be the third running back. Just a massive difference.
Man, the Green Bay Packers website has Patrick Taylor listed as their third stringer, too. I don't understand that. Oh, maybe Kylan Hill's cycles in at wideout. No, I don't see him out there either.
Yeah, he's their running back, right? He's got 10 carries.
I don't get why their depth charts are listed that way, but yeah.
Don't worry about the depth chart. Just focus on the task at hand. Right now, it's Kylan Hill. Let's just move forward with that.
Should I look at another depth chart quick?
No, it's just... So, long story short, I think depending on how cheap you can get Aaron Jones, if you're contending next year, I think he's a sneaky play in terms of buying him on the cheap.
I can agree
with that. Especially, let's say, and this is a wait, let's say AJ Dillon goes out this week and goes gangbusters. Even if you're rebuilding, and this might seem kind of stupid on the surface, but let's say AJ Dillon against Minnesota just rips through him, rushes for 100 yards and has a touchdown and whatever. Aaron Jones's value is going to depreciate. And if you can acquire Aaron Jones on a rebuilder, I think it's a savvy play.
For AJ Dillon?
Maybe not straight up. I'd probably still take AJ. If AJ Dillon goes crazy, I think it'd be hard. I'd want plus on top of Aaron Jones for AJ Dillon.
Yeah, that's funny.
And even right now, just because he's injured, I want AJ Dillon. I want Aaron Jones plus on top, even though I won't get that. But I'd rather just hold and wait and see what happens with Dillon.
Yeah.
But like we had just talked about, look at his contract status. He's not going anywhere. So he's going to be there next year, and you're probably looking at worst a 50-50 split. They're not going to pay him all this money and then not utilize him because he is better than AJ Dillon in the passing game. Just simple fact. So he may become Kareem Hunt type player where AJ Dillon may be the guy next year. Hypothetically speaking, worst case scenario, I think AJ Dillon is the guy getting most of the groundwork. Let's say it's 65 to 70% of the groundwork, but Aaron Jones is getting most of the receiving work. I think it's a win.
Yeah.
So it's a low risk proposition to get Aaron Jones. Now you're going to get him and he's going to die on your team. Like you're not going to be able to flip him later for anything. So this is kind of a basically buy and hold for a couple of years and hoping that he can somehow put you over the edge. But the value that he's at right now, Aaron Jones, is the highest value that he's going to have for the rest of his playing career.
Okay. Now the only reason I don't like that as a sneaky play is there is a distinct possibility and probably more likelihood than not that Aaron Rodgers is leaving. So what does that mean for Aaron Jones's potential production in that offense, even if you think he's a sneaky play in the passing game?
I guess it all depends on who the quarterback is, right?
And it's just like, I don't feel comfortable with that. You know, like I would have to have some level of knowledge of like if Jordan Love was good, which I, you know, we saw him come in for a game I wasn't too impressed.
I don't know if he has to be, but I mean,
the Packers O-line isn't talented enough to carry that type of, you know, sentiment forward. I don't feel comfortable with any part of that team unless Aaron Rodgers is there.
So are you thinking that with Aaron Jones, you just wait until after the season where Aaron Rodgers leaves and then
you'll get a lower price for Aaron Jones after the season? Yes.
Do you think it's guaranteed that his value will go down?
I guarantee it.
So what you're suggesting is even if you're contending right now, do you trade Aaron Jones? So you're a contender right now. What do you trade Aaron Jones for?
Yeah, I was going to say, if the purpose of trading him is to profit, then yes, the answer is yes. And you have to wait for him to come back.
Tough situation. You know, you just said that his value is guaranteed to go down.
Yep.
So how would you get around that?
I mean, I would hope that people aren't thinking about that yet. Kind of like maybe you just didn't, you know, just like a quick momentary lapse and send a cold offer.
You have Aaron Jones.
Yeah. I'm hoping that people forget about what the impending doom of this offseason is going to become with Aaron Rodgers leaving.
So you're just going to ride him out the rest of the season and then try to figure it out later?
No, I'll try to trade him. I'm saying I'll try to trade him to somebody who's not suspecting.
For what? That's what I keep asking you. What would you try to do?
I mean, that's a loaded question. Let's take a look at what my options are. I mean, do I need
running back? You're a contender, Hurley. You're a contender. You have Aaron Jones. You're a contender. You want to get out from under Aaron Jones because you think his value is guaranteed to go down from here.
Yeah. Give me a list of guys and I'll tell you yes or no.
Well, I mean, we could be here all night giving you a list of
Clyde
guys.
Edwards, yes.
It doesn't have to be straight. Yeah. So you would try to make that happen.
Yeah.
Let's say it gets rejected. You would try, would you take James Robinson straight up for him?
As a contender, probably, yeah.
Now, how do you feel about James Robinson's value going into next year? Do you think it goes up or down?
Yeah, not great. I mean,
so you're kind of putting yourself in the same spot.
Well, unless Aaron Rodgers goes to Jacksonville. No, I'm kidding. Putting yourself in a similar spot, but you got, you know, a 23-year-old James Robinson who might be looking for new teams, right? If ETN comes back and doesn't feel good about it. Let's see, James Robinson contract.
What do you think about doing a Darrell Henderson plus for Aaron Jones? What do you think about doing a Leonard Fournette plus for Aaron Jones?
So I'm going to answer your first question before moving on to those.
Okay.
I feel comfortable with James Robinson at this point. I think he's shown enough where he's signed through the 2022 season. He could get out of there, or I still think he'll be part of the offense when ETN comes back next season. But like, I think he's shown enough where he could still have a decent career in the NFL for another team. So I'm fine with the Robinson move. I don't think his outlook is as bleak.
So even with ATN there, you're fine.
I think Robinson has shown enough where I'm less concerned about. I'm not as worried about as I was when ETN first came to the team. Yes.
Okay.
Could be a little bit of thunder and lightning going on there. So what else was the, what were the next ones now? List them. Darrell Henderson.
Darrell Henderson plus.
I mean, I'd kind of think that I would be able to get Darrell Henderson and maybe like a late second, right?
I'd assume so, yeah.
Mid to late second,
Or a player, or try to sneak in a player that you like.
Yeah, somebody that can help out.
What about Leonard Fournette plus? Would you consider that?
I don't feel great about that.
Because all these pieces that we're talking about are just rental pieces for the rest of the season.
Yeah, true.
So really, what you're doing in a situation like this is you're saying, I don't like Aaron Jones's uncertainty so much so that I'm willing to just try to find a win now piece. And that complementary plus piece is the key to this whole conversation.
Yeah.
Because that complementary plus piece is what you're hoping is going to gain enough value where you feel it'll be worth more than what Aaron Jones will be worth next year. So whether it be a receiver, a tight end, if it's tight end premium, something along those lines.
Yeah.
That's where the conversation is.
Yeah. And I think it's more because Aaron Jones is going down and not so much whatever player I'm picking is going up, though.
He's going down. But if we do what we're talking about, where you go like a Darrell Henderson, Darrell Henderson's really only helping you this year. He's in the same situation next year with Cam Akers there.
Well, what about like Elijah Mitchell?
Yeah, but now you're doing the straight up thing, which I would do. I would take the gamble on it. It's a massive risk. Massive. You know what? I don't know if I would do it. The only way I would consider doing it is if I could get Elijah Mitchell. And then right now, I feel like it's hard to take Aaron Jones and trade him plus to get something better.
Do you get more for Elijah Mitchell in a trade?
Just because there are more owners that would be willing to take on an Elijah Mitchell. I think contender or a rebuilder.
He fits more than just a contender. I agree.
Yes. So you could find more teams that would be willing to take on Elijah Mitchell and you can get lucky. With Aaron Jones, you're really just looking at it from a contender. You're flipping it to another contender. I would try to take Aaron Jones and try to sneak a Josh Jacobs and try to get lucky with it, because I think Josh Jacobs' outlook next year will be a little bit better than Aaron Jones's.
Yeah, I can see it. I like the Jacobs move when you get younger too.
It's very interesting dynamic. But this is why it makes it so difficult to hang on to these aging running backs, especially Aaron Jones. He's kind of been a ticking time bomb. As soon as Aaron Rodgers had issues with the coaching staff and it was deemed that he might have been leaving, when he signed with the Packers this season, you should have traded your Aaron Jones share at the peak and gotten whatever you could get at the time. I think you probably could have gotten a Joe Mixon for him at the beginning of the season. You do something like that. You try to get, I know Javonte Williams was a rookie. You take the risk on that. You try to get J.K. Dobbins. That would have backfired, but it was still an attempt, like a valiant effort. Aaron Jones plus to get J.K. Dobbins. It wouldn't have worked this year, but I think it'd be pretty good for it next year. So there's a lot of different things. It's not like we gave that advice at the beginning of the season, but I think looking back, it probably would have been a savvy conversation to have.
Yep, I agree. And the next pack of guys coming up, maybe just so we're not looking at hindsight and there's nothing that can be learned here, but who do you think the next group of running backs are, like Aaron Jones next year, like guys you want to probably move off your roster this offseason? Maybe like Dalvin Cook?
Yeah,
Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Zeke, Eckler? I mean, kind of like right in the...
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Eckler, I think Dalvin Cook for sure, 100%. If I'm a contender, I'm trading Dalvin Cook even now.
Wow.
To me, it's just not worth it.
I mean, unless you got a ton of depth or something, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but I try to to get somebody that I believe in, like even like a Joe Mixon, I would trade Dalvin Cook to acquire Joe Mixon, even if I know that it's going to provide me less fantasy points the rest of the season. Once again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The 4 points, let's call it, that you're giving up, even if it's 5 points per game that you're giving up for Cook the rest of the season. Let's say the rest of the season, Cook outscores Mixon by 5 points or more a game, or 5 to 6 points a game, let's call it. That, to me, won't make enough of a difference than it will next year when Dalvin Cook's value corrects, the market corrects on him, and Joe Mixon's value is higher.
Yeah.
But you sit in the same situation with Mixon next year, and you have to reset the deck again next year because he is now going to be looking at, well, he has one more year left before he hits the 27, and then his value in the community goes down. It's because Dalvin Cook specifically has had injury history throughout his career. And we talk about this often with these old guys. When they get hurt and they miss a season or they miss an extended period of time, you can't recoup the value off that player. So for me, it doesn't make a lot of sense to be hanging on to Dalvin Cook. So what I would try to do if I had Dalvin Cook, I would pay the premium. And if you want somebody better than Joe Mixon, younger, I would pay the premium, whatever it costs, that's reasonable, to take Dalvin Cook and upgrade him to Najee Harris.
There you go.
For example, even if that person wants a late first from me, I'd consider it, heavily consider it.
Love it. And that's the way the Cook crumbles. Is that bad?
It's not good.
Yeah, that's not my best stuff.
But it's as good as you're going to do with that, I think.
Tried to salvage the podcast at the end. I tried to salvage the podcast at the very end.
Nice. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So that's all we got. That's kind of like a player news on steroids type of thing, trying to go into some depth to help you out to navigate the different scenarios you may face with your team in the upcoming months. Not only weeks, but months, right?
Months. Years. Months.
So that's what we got. We're going to go watch Matt Stafford throw some more interceptions. Enjoy the rest
of
the Monday.
That last one was not his fault. That was on Higbee. Drunk.
Come on, Higbee. Put it together, buddy.
Jeez. God dang it.
That's all we got, you guys. Thank you for listening to us this week. Join us next week as we talk about more stuff and some things. We're going to mix some things in with our stuff next week.
Nice.
Make sure you check out the website, DynastyTradeCalculator.com, on Twitter, at FFHercules, myself, and you can find Izzy at DTC_IzzyE. The main handle is at FFDynastyTrades, and you can also find the producer at DTC_JohnMosier. M-O-E-S-E-R. Jonathan Mosier? He's doing some fist pumps. You change your handle? Oh, he's dancing. He's dancing! Thanks for listening, guys. Bye! Let's go!